All right, Merry Christmas, Bridge Point. How are we doing? Feeling good? Awesome. Happy Sunday to you. Glad that you're here for week four of our series we've been calling Family Tree. We've been taking a look at some of the lineage, the genealogy of Jesus as recorded in Scripture. And what we have collectively learned, not that there was much argument about it, is that Jesus's family was messed up. I mean, he was born into, if you think your family's bad, study Jesus's. And what does that mean for us? What could it teach us? How could it encourage us or be a part of us? And there's a lot to it. You can catch up with this message series on YouTube. But I think there's some power in knowing, oftentimes when we think about Jesus, it almost seems distant, unapproachable. People that are like, have issues and problems, can we even engage with a God like that? And his genealogy reminds us that not only is he not afraid of that, but there's spaces for us in his story and what he's doing. That's what the Christmas story has been reminding us of this year. I want to jump straight in. Here's the reality. Christmas is 6 days away. I'm going to say that again. Some of you need to gather yourselves. Christmas is 6 days away, okay? Now is the time for either total celebration because you're planned out and you're ready, or utter panic, okay? Because I can see the anxiety levels of some of you. Husbands, one last time, Christmas is 6 days away. Her gift won't buy itself, okay? So make sure we're dialed in and not get caught off guard. But here's what I also know is that on every campus, including online, there are people tuning in to what's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. Merry, bright, filled with excitement and anticipation. There's a lot of people tuning in that don't feel that way, and quite honestly feel quite the opposite. And that's kind of where I want to jump off in today's message. We're actually going to look really closely to the birth of Jesus. And today I want to talk about Jesus's mom, Mary. But it kind of begins with this question, and I want to see what Mary could teach us in response to this. But where's the joy that's supposed to be found in the Christmas story? Where's the joy? And here's why I say that. I just really quickly, again, you could catch up on the messages of this series on YouTube, but a quick survey of Jesus's lineage as recorded might help you understand where I'm coming from. I'm going to start back with Abraham. These are all grandfathers, great-great-grandfathers, grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers of Jesus. Abraham was a liar and a coward. Good representation there in the family lineage. Abraham had a son named Isaac who followed in his father's footsteps and was the same thing, liar and coward. Jacob was a schemer and a liar. We could label him a fun word named shyster. That's a good one to have at the family table around the holidays. Judah convinced his brothers to sell one of their brothers into slavery. What's that conversation like as you're cutting the turkey and enjoying fruitcake? Tamar was a prostitute and participated in incest. Rahab was also a prostitute. Ruth was an outsider, a Moabite, no less. David was abusive. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer, somehow also a man after God's own heart. We talked about him in week two, which therefore also means that Bathsheba, recorded in the lineage, was really hurting the fact that her name was in there with the circumstances that David created for her. Hurting people are part of it. Solomon had massive sexual sin problems to the tune of over 700 different women that he was wrestling with. Rehoboam had a pride problem. Uzziah, Ahaz, and Manasseh were deeply ungodly leaders that led their people to do incredibly ungodly things. All part of the story of the Messiah. The perfect family, if you will, right? You think about your family and its hiccups and struggles, and here's Jesus. And what do these things mean for us? And back to my question, where's the joy in any one of those stories? And what could that mean for us today, December 2021? Where's the joy for us? Because I'm not going to pretend that everybody tuning in right now has the joy of Christmas being 6 days away. And if you're not feeling the joy, where do you find it? What's the hope in that? Where do you discover peace when all of these characters and people like us are a part of the Christmas story. Let me jump right in and see if we can answer some of these questions. For most of this series, we've been in Matthew chapter 1. Today, I want to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke was meticulous in recording the story and nature of Jesus. So he's an eyewitness. He's not an outsider. He's an eyewitness to Jesus's life. And I want you to see what he recorded about the beginning, the original Christmas, Jesus's birth. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, it says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. A lot to get there, right? Let me make sure we're all on the same page. You have Mary was engaged. They had a betrothing process back in this day, but essentially she was engaged to be married to Joseph. Mary was from Nazareth, and God, Almighty God, had a specific call that he was placing on Mary's life. So God Almighty sent an angel to speak to Mary about what God was calling Mary into. But make no mistake about it, and this is a point that I want to get to in just a moment, Mary was just Mary from Nazareth, all right? There was not a lot of special to her at this point. In fact, we also know, as recorded in Scripture, what people thought about people from Nazareth. It's specifically recorded. Somebody asks, what good comes out of Nazareth? That's the type of people Mary was talking about. That's who we were. Mary's a teenage girl. She's looking for love. Honestly, maybe you could describe her as just a small town girl living in a lonely world. Merry Christmas. That one's free. I think Mary might have been the inspiration for that Journey song some thousands of years ago, but that's the context. What good comes out of Nazareth? What's special about this teenage girl named Mary that God wants to speak a message and a call to her? But make no mistake, everybody needs to hear this. While Mary's call is very different than yours and mine, God did not make you and leave you without purpose. God did not make you and leave you without purpose. And for some of you, that's the encouragement that you need today. More on that in a minute. Here's what the angel said, all right? I really appreciate sometimes those of us familiar with stories recorded in the Bible, especially at Christmas time that we hear often. Sometimes we read them and just accept them at face value, like, yeah, that's what happened. An angel visited Mary, and we forget that that's a real moment and that it's not something that's just normal or we should gloss over. Here's what I mean. And the angel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." An angel visited Mary, and I'm grateful to be reminded that Mary was just a normal human being, because her response when an angel showed up was she was greatly troubled. I don't know if you've ever had an angel show up to you. I have not. But I'm thankful for the reminders that wild, unusual circumstances that we read in the Bible are interpreted by normal people very similar to us. I mean, many of you may struggle with the content of Scripture and what's recorded in there. This is not just fictional type of things where angels bounce around and have conversations and it's just like, here comes the angel again. This was an angel showing up to Mary, and Mary was like, whoa. Mary was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. What, in other words, Mary's like, what is going on? What does it mean that an angel of God is speaking to me? What does it mean that he says, I'm a favored one and that the Lord is with you? At this point, they didn't have necessarily the belief that God was present. Jesus had not yet come yet. So this was an unusual circumstance. I'm so grateful that it records. Luke did not hide the fact that Mary was like, this is a lot to take in. This isn't normal. You know, an angel is speaking to me. I have a 4.5-year-old daughter. Many of you have heard me talk about her. Juliet has embraced her call in the world, which is to share her opinion of every situation unprompted by anyone. And one of her common phrases of unusual circumstances is she will hear a story, see a story, or participate in one and look and say, "That's weird. Juliet, please, you can't just say that to people, like with no context." You drop Juliet into a conversation with Mary, and Mary says, "Yeah, an angel showed up and started talking." And Juliet would have been like, "That's weird." Because it is. Let's not lose the fact, those of you that are a little bit skeptical or uncertain about this moment, that Mary was too. This is weird. This is not normal stuff. I've never experienced this. It's not a common thing. But the thing was, this was only the beginning for Mary and the call she was receiving from God. I want to continue by reading this. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." She's beginning to get the call that God has placed on her life. And I'm pretty confident Mary would have been like, "That's weird," when the angel's sharing this. This was unprecedented. There were prophecies that this might come at some point. There was a long-held belief for the Jewish people that a Savior would come at one point. But this moment was not something that we should just gloss over as like, "Yeah, probably another day in the life of Mary." She was from Nazareth. Like, what good comes from Nazareth? And please understand that many of us are familiar with the mother of Jesus as Mary. Many of us have probably heard of her. But at this moment in history, at this specific time, when the angel was literally speaking to Mary, this was a teenage girl from the town of Nazareth who, by all accounts, was at best ordinary Mary. That's it. She wasn't famous. She hadn't gone viral. Nobody from Nazareth would have been rich and wealthy. She didn't have incredible status. She wouldn't have been widely known. She wouldn't have been a popular name. This was ordinary Mary, the small town girl, just excited because she was betrothed, excited because this meant something for her. This was a big moment, but it was a lot. Mary's thinking, "Okay, this is a lot, but okay, God, I'm getting married. I know, you know, one thing tends to lead into the next. If I'm going to have a child, that's part of this thing. But please understand, when we look at this and we get kind of, you know, catching our breath or like filled with a little bit of question or maybe a level of skepticism, we're not looking at someone that this was everyday life. And just while I'm in the neighborhood, because some of you need to hear this as well. As much as God has a call on your life, God does not set out scanning the world to check for a blue check on social media or a level of viral status or popularity. He's not looking for the most put together, the wealthiest, the ones with all the right answers, with all the knowledge, with all the wisdom, with everyone that says, "Man, their life is together." That's not who God was looking at. Mary didn't find favor with God because of her popularity and status. Mary found favor with God because she was faithful. And I think far too many of us want to buy into the temptation to look in the mirror and say, "But how could God use somebody like me? What do I have to offer? I mean, what difference could I make? How could I change the world? How could I be something special?" Mary was like us. She was ordinary Mary from Nazareth, a teenage girl with the hopes of being married. But she was faithful. Some of you need to be willing to believe that as much as there is a God out there, he's not looking for you and I to have it all together to use us. He's simply looking to see if you and I will come to him and say, "Take what you can, but use me." And that's the hope some of you need to hear. It's not a status of what dictates whether or not God is going to use someone or not. It's simply whether or not they're going to keep showing up in all of the imperfections of life's journey. And that was Mary. That was Mary. That's her story. It gets stranger because here's what the angel said next. The child you're going to have, He will be great. He'll be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. We talked about David just a couple weeks ago. He will reign over the house of Jacob, great, 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 great grandfather, forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Mary's taking in an already unusual moment, but when the angel starts to speak to lineage, especially for Jewish people, this was a moment that reality probably began to set in for Mary, of saying, this is big. This is huge. Like the great, 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 great grandson of King David, the great, great, great grandson of Jacob, to know that this king will reign forever and of his kingdom, there will be no end. This is bigger than what's contained in planet Earth. Mary's taking this in and she's recognizing this is a big assignment. This teenage girl from Nazareth, taking in the call of God spoken through an angel. This was massive. What if God has a call for you that is huge? What if God has a call on your life that doesn't fit neatly into your box? What if God has plans for you that are bigger than what you could understand or fully process? And here's why I say that. Your call will not be like Mary's. Hers was really weird. But what if your call is uniquely for you too, and it's equally as scary as Mary's? And here's what I mean. Here's where the angel took his conversation with Mary. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Yeah. It's a powerful moment that you guys are clapping to, but insert Juliet and she says, "That's weird." Right? I mean, that's a big moment. And I'm so thankful that Mary wasn't like unusually supernaturally inspired. I mean, she was just an average person because her initial response, okay, I'm going to give birth to the Most High, the Son, the great-great-grandson of David, that his kingdom will have no end. Her response is probably a lot like what ours would be. How? That's not possible. How am I going to be pregnant? I'm a virgin. Mary understood basic biology. I think we do too, right? A plus B equals C, but there was no B in this circumstance. This equation was missing a key part to get the result that this angel was speaking about. Mary's looking at this saying, I mean, I appreciate the profoundness of this moment, but that's not possible. That call can't be for my life. That can't be what's next for me because I'm a virgin. That's not my story. It's not part of who I am. And just to take a moment to lift the pressure and enjoy the scenario, can you imagine that conversation with Mary's dad? "Dad, seriously, I promise. I'm pregnant, but I promise I'm a virgin." Right. Or what about for Joseph? "Honey, you're never going to believe this." Right? "This is impossible." Or there's some details that we've been missing out on in this story. Now, let me give you a deep sigh of relief. I don't anticipate God calling any of you to a virgin birth experience. His son has already entered the world, so don't panic. But how often do you and I understand or begin to understand or get this sense that maybe God is calling us to something, to do something, to say something, to go somewhere, to go with someone, to go speak to someone, and our response, instead of just being able to take that, is much more like, "That's impossible, God. God, you couldn't be calling me to that. That's impossible. I understand biology, or I understand my circumstances, or I understand me. And God, what you're telling me that you want me to do is not a real thing. I can't do that. How often do we quickly shift God's call on our lives to something that we deem impossible, as if our God can neatly dwell in the little box we've made for him? This is what he does. This is what he can call us to. And this is what we can expect from him. And everything else is about what we can earn, what we deserve, or what we build for ourselves. But God, if you're jumping out of that box, you need to know that's not possible. And for many of us, what I want you to hear this Christmas was the angel's response to Mary. Because I think there's far too many of us tuning into this message that have not possibled God's call on our lives. That we've heard it, or we've sensed it, or we've run from it, or we've minimized it, or we've downplayed it, or we've tried to logic it to death, where we can comfortably say, I must not be hearing from God because that's not possible. The angel made a declarative statement to Mary, who was receiving something that she understood to be impossible. That as much as it was true on the very first Christmas, is equally as true for us about our God this Christmas of 2021, because the angel replied with this: nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. Listen, it feels good to clap about that, but let's live in this moment. Nothing. Nothing. The doctor's report, the bank account, the status, what you can see, what you can't see, who's around you, who's not, the where, the end goal, all of those things that can so quickly inform the impossibility of God's call on our lives suddenly have no leg to stand on, because nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing. Now, please understand, remove God from the equation and there's plenty that will be impossible. But when God is a part of the journey, nothing will be impossible with God. So those that are feeling on the outside and left out, you can belong with God. Those of you feeling too broken can be restored through God. Those of you feeling too hurt can find reconciliation through God. Too damaged, too confused, too poor, too addicted, the relationship's too far gone, the odds are stacked against you, you're too ordinary, too plain, too ungifted. Nothing is impossible with God. And this Christmas, you need to hear a message that mattered on the first Christmas as much as it matters today, that when God calls you to something, it's not about whether or not you and I can understand every step, because sometimes we're going to have to take a step into the impossible with God to discover the fullness of our purpose, instead of dismissing God and missing purpose. I hope we all, myself included, learn a lesson from Mary's impossible circumstance and her response to the impossible nature of this weird, wild encounter. Here's what Mary said. Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel left. She asked questions. The circumstances weren't adding up. The logic wasn't right. The status wasn't present. There was a lot of reason to be confused. There was plenty of reason to be afraid. She knew how people were probably going to talk. She knew probably how Joseph was going to respond. She knew what this was going to mean for her lives, for her life. But in the midst of all of that was a response, a deeply held joy, if you will, a belief that if God has called me to it, then I want my response to be, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord, so may it be to me as you have said. Behold, I am ordinary Mary from Nazareth, but God. Behold, I am fill in the blank of your circumstance, but God. I want you to understand something incredibly powerful about Mary's story, and it's something that is an offer from God Almighty to you today and every day, is that Mary, in the midst of the confusion and the weirdness and the weight and the uncertainty of what was coming next, I get the impression that deep down inside, because of Mary's response, she also had joy. Joy that she was going to experience something that this world couldn't offer. Joy not because it was going to be easy and not because she could fully understand it, but joy because she knew God was a God of the impossible. And if you hear nothing else, then be encouraged that Christmas reminds us that joy is possible in the impossible. Somebody needs to hear it again. Christmas reminds us that joy is possible in the impossible. For the person that showed up feeling like joy had escaped them, was unachievable, and was not going to be a part of the Christmas story for you this year, Christmas reminds us that joy is possible in the impossible. It'll depend on our response to the circumstances around us, which maybe leads to a better question. How often do we lose joy because we only see the impossible? How often do you and I miss out on the joy God desires for us because we focus on the impossible of our circumstances? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. It's not possible. I can't do that. God, I can't do X, Y, or Z. God, I don't have enough money to do that. God, I don't have the confidence. I don't have the right words. God, I don't have the relational fortitude. God, I'm hurting. God, I don't want to say sorry. God, they wronged me. God, I can't. And we'll boil a call, a purpose that God has placed down on our lives from an impossible situation where Mary said, God, may it be so to me. And we'll instead respond to God with saying, God, I can't. And maybe that's the point. Because if you and I could, then we would never need God. If we had all the answers, if we could see all the steps, if everything made total sense every time, then we could handle life on our own and we would not need a faith in something bigger. But maybe the Christmas story, maybe the dangling carrot of joy achievable to us is the reminder that part of experiencing joy is the reality that sometimes we step into scary and believe into our fears, knowing that God is with us. Because put yourself in Mary's shoes. Mary had to be hearing this call on her life, understanding what it meant. They're going to be talking about me and not in good ways. Joseph's going to struggle to believe me and not in good ways. This is going to change my life and not in good ways. I can't do this. I'm ordinary Mary from Nazareth. This is not it. God, this wasn't what I asked for. This wasn't what I've dreamed about. This wasn't what I hoped for. But we boil it down to what we can see in our perspective as if God isn't fully aware of how impossible it may seem. And here's what I mean. Mary had to be thinking, my relationship with Joseph is probably done. There goes my marriage. There goes what I was hoping for. There goes what I was excited about. As if God wasn't fully aware of how unbelievable this call on her life would be. Let me take you to Joseph's side of the story, that while the angel was speaking to Mary and giving her God's call on her life, let's go to Joseph's perspective. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 says this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful that Joseph is a normal person because her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. I respect that. That makes sense. Joseph isn't saying, well, I'm not about to cancel her. I'm not about to make life difficult on her. But clearly there's some issues here and I'm going to move myself forward. This call on her life that she's claiming is a lot. Her being pregnant and us never having been together, that's a lot. I'm going to move forward. Mary had to be thinking, this is going to cost everything. It's going to cost my relationship with Joseph. And she was right. But God. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's a powerful moment. Don't miss the weight of that. Mary receiving her call and being so afraid could not in her mind think, I know, I will send an angel to my future husband and tell him that this pregnancy is all good. But God did. Because remember, nothing will be impossible with God. God, I can't fix them. I can't change their mind. I won't have enough left. I can't go back. I'm too scared. But the doctor said, but the circumstance is this. But nothing will be impossible with God. How often do we look at the God's call on our lives and saying, that couldn't be for me? Because we can't see the full outcomes. We don't have angels to deploy. We don't have people that God's going to impress upon our hearts to write us a check that's going to come through at exactly the right moment. We don't know that by the time we get to those people, that they're going to say to us, you know what, I've been meaning to have a conversation with you. I'm glad you reached out. We didn't know that God was preparing the small group to be like, we're so glad you're here. We've been hoping you would join us. We didn't know that God had another job lined up. We didn't know that God would work through the counselor and save the marriage. We didn't know that God wasn't confined to the box that the doctors placed him in. We didn't know that the circumstances that were impossible by our definition don't stand a chance next to a God that does the possible in the midst of the impossible. But some of you this Christmas need to be reminded that joy is possible for you. Even when it feels impossible. Joy's possible. It doesn't mean everything's gonna be easy. It sure doesn't mean everything's gonna make sense. It doesn't mean suddenly you're gonna have an illumination that lines every step up. It means there will be some times that you and I will have to take a step and just say, God, I am scared. God, I am hurting. God, I can't figure it out. God, this seems bleak. God, this is impossible, but with you, nothing will be for me. And that's why I've been so pumped this Christmas to study the family tree. Because it's a reminder of all these broken people that were part of the Savior's story, which then gets to be a reminder for all these broken people like us that his invitation is also to be a part of his story. So this Christmas, for some of you, it's time to believe again. It's time to believe that God has a call, plans, purpose for you. It's time to believe that God has a gift of joy for you that's attached to your purpose. It's time to believe that even though you can't understand it, God will make a way through it. It's time to believe that he's big enough. It's time to believe that you haven't out-sinned him. It's time to believe that it's not too far gone. It's time to believe that you need to jump. It's time to believe that you need to stay. It's time to believe again that this Christmas reminds us that joy is possible. Because Jesus said so. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for the Christmas story. What a wild story that you, God, Almighty God, creator of all things, would then put on flesh and become a created, to see the hurt, the brokenness, the confusion, the darkness of the world that existed, and to step into it, to breathe light and life. God, for everyone hearing this message that feels like joy has escaped them, for everyone that feels impossibly stuck, impossibly hopeless, impossible to love, impossibly chaotic, God, would today, would this Christmas, would a journey with you remind them that joy is possible, not because we can earn it or work for it, but because joy is attached to the God of the impossible, and you are making possible all the impossibilities in our life. So thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the joy it reminds us of. Thank you for the joy, Jesus, that you brought to us when you came. Help us to receive it, to experience it, and to live in it today and every day. In Jesus' name.